All right, there we go. We thought just to help accommodate children and time, we would talk while you all eat. So wanted to thank you all for sticking around. Let's just say thank you to Mike and Brenda and the team back there for the food. Huh? I am so impressed with their ability to put these things together, and it's always so good. So, yeah. What we're going to do is I'm just going to just make a couple of comments here, and then Mike is going to come up and do a lion's share of the talking. But we just wanted to take an opportunity today, circle back around. We know that we have we had a while back introduced the idea that we ought to be thinking about future staff. And we are still working on that. We've engaged with small groups. We've engaged with, I hope, most of you, if not all of you, around those issues and have had good feedback from you. And we're continuing praying and looking in that direction. We still believe that that's the direction the Lord is wanting to move us. But as we've mentioned, one of the steps that we need to think about is the functionality of our facility, and particularly with respect to offices and what that will bring to us. And so we wanted to give an update. You know, it's always difficult to communicate in a church. It's difficult to communicate. You would think that today would be easier to communicate with social media and all of that. But you know what? It's more difficult. I was reading something with all of the different avenues of communication that we have. Some people like Twitter. Some people like Facebook. Or as we were riding with a cabbie this weekend, he called it InstaFace. And, Snapbook. And, anyway. So there are all those different forms of communication, email, text message, phone calls, in person, and whatnot. And it just multiplies the avenues which we've got to try to communicate. So we wanted to take a time to just even update on where we're at, give you some additional information now that we have it with respect specifically to the offices and what that's going to take, and want to encourage you. And so with that, I'm going to have Mike come up, and Mike is going to walk us through some of the details and give you information about offices.
Thank you, Pastor. I'm going to grab a stand here. Thank you. Well, appreciate you guys being here. And like Pastor said, we want to give you a little update on some of the work that's been done in the last month to 6 weeks since we talked last time, as we've begun to consider what really is our first significant capital improvement in the life of this facility. We've stepped back a bit to kind of take an inventory of the entire facility and to talk a little about how best to move forward. This fall, our facility will be moving into its 14th year of existence. So it has been a good facility for us, and we've had relatively few issues, but what we are starting to see with our facility is some of those things you would expect with a facility that's in that 14 to 15 years of age. We've done some work on the HVAC, one of the HVAC units, about $1,000 worth of work. They were able to bring it up to 90%, but it probably isn't going to be able to perform beyond that. So that was one of the things we did. We've had some issues with some leaks throughout the building, and we spent between $1,000 and $1,500 for that. And we're still chasing a couple of those leaks, but I guess this would be an appeal for all of us to pray for a hailstorm. So those are some things. Yeah, some of the adjusters here are saying, no, we don't want that. So as we consider the offices, we've discussed how also to consider some of these things that we know are coming. And we want to think about that in respect to the next 2 to 5 years. So let me start with the offices. I'm going to start with going ahead and putting a slide up and talk about where we believe the offices need to be located and a little bit of why they need to be located there. Our facility was designed for probably 500 people. And as we think about how our spaces are used in this facility, what we have discovered is we really are utilizing our spaces well. and they're utilized often, Wednesday nights, Sundays, other times during the week. The only place in our facility that really is bigger than what would typically be designed for a church that is our current size right now is the sanctuary, which was designed for about 500 people. So we believe what we ought to do is be thinking about taking some space out of the sanctuary to provide for these. And what you'll see up there is some kind of shaded areas in the back of our sanctuary. It shows four offices. Now, as you're up and standing and looking around, you'll see we've taped off what those four spaces, how they would look if we were building those four spaces. And interestingly enough, the area that you're sitting in right now is not infringing on those spaces. Some of the discussion that we've had is, if we do that, how many people... Thanks. How many people could we seat at tables in here? Well, right now, if we use folding chairs, we're seated for over 200 people in here right now without getting back into those office areas. Probably get a few more tables in here and probably sit maybe 150 people at tables. The other question might be, well, if you do that, how many people can we sit during a Sunday morning service? And the seating chart that you see right there is for 300 people, okay? Currently, we set up for about 250 to 260 on a Sunday morning. We can get 300 in there. You'll see that some of these seats would have to move a little bit, but we've got room on the sides, and our spacing right now is a little more generous than we typically would have to go. So we can probably get 320 to 350 in a seating arrangement if we tighten that up. So that's kind of why we've talked about putting those offices in the back. Let me talk a little about the scope of the offices and what all that will entail to do. We would look at framing those all the way to the deck, drywall all the way to the deck. And you might ask, well, why wouldn't we just go up so high and shelf it? Well, things like the heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems, the sprinkler systems, all are going to have to be brought down into those spaces. And what we want to do is have a finished look in this area. So if we take those walls all the way to the deck, we're able to hide those utility things that have to happen. What we would probably do is punch through the back wall with our HVAC and bring the conditioning in for those offices from the lobby area so that we don't have to be operating the sanctuary HVAC when the offices are occupied. Sprinkler systems we'd bring down that'll be required. We'd have four new doors that would be the door over here in this corner. Sorry about that. This door here that's already there, that's back in this corner here, we'd leave. And then we'd cut three more doors into the hallway for these two offices here. Electrical outlets, probably have a couple of dozen outlets and switches that would have to run back to a panel in the nursery area. Paint, base, drop ceilings. If you look at what we've got happening in our ceiling area, we'd have to reconfigure a little bit of the drop ceiling work here. Also bring drop ceilings into our new office areas. A lot of this work will have to be done from lifts, so it's or scaffolding. So there's going to be a bit of height to that, which is something that we have to consider. And then the other thing that we think through is how we phase something like this, how we do this, if you will, under traffic. You know, right now, as we look at this, we've kind of decided that if we build it, we need to consider Wednesday night activities, Sunday activities, those type of things, and how through construction we are able to keep those things safe and keep people from coming into contact with that. So there are things like protecting our carpet that has to be considered every time we have a church event and just things like that. So the question is, what's the probable cost for something like this? Well, if we were to build this today, what do we think our costs would be? And I think probably we'd be looking at somewhere between $75,000 and $85,000. We would also have what we would guess to be about $10,000 worth of office furniture and things like that that we'd want to include in that. Now, the question also would be, are there ways to save on that? And there certainly are. There are things that the church can perform as part of this construction, things like the demo, installation of the doors, vinyl base, insulation between the offices, stain, those type of things, some of the security things that we would do ourselves. If we were to do some of those type of things, we might see the price of that be more in the range of $60,000 to $65,000. Additionally, if we wanted to take on some of the phasing issues like cleanup and transitions between the work time and the church time, we could probably be in the 50 to 58 range. So there are different areas and different ways to bring that price down. Again, this is just our best guess using a database, a construction database, if we were to build currently. What are some of the other options that we've looked at? We've also talked about potentially renting offices off-site. That's something that we wanted to consider. We've also looked at a modular unit and discussed that and what that looks like in terms of getting a slab foundation under that, getting utilities to that, and kind of weighed all those things. And we still believe that offices in this particular sanctuary would probably be the best way to move forward. So that being priority one, let's talk a little about some of the other things to give you kind of a window into what are some things that we might be looking at in the future. Let's talk about our HVAC, our heating and air conditioning units. They're bumping up against 14, 15 years old. I would expect that units like that would last 20 to 25, but it's not uncommon to start having to maintain those units. If we were going to replace one of those units, we might see that being somewhere in the neighborhood of $8,000 to $12,000 per unit for a facility this size. Let's talk about our roof. As we continue to do some maintenance on our roof, how do we approach that, and what might that look like? Well, we've got a pretty fair-sized roof here. I think it's probably safe to say that if we don't get hailed out, in the next 3 years, we're going to have to replace our roof, because each year we're seeing an increase in the amount of cost to try to chase after these leaks. To replace a roof for a church this size, we're probably looking at $50,000 to $55,000. Okay, and that's if all of our substrate and sheathing underneath is in good shape, and all we have to do is replace it. So these are some big items. We also can look out in the parking lot and say, you know, What are we doing with the parking lot? And we continue to do repairs on the parking lot as we move forward. So these are things to consider as we prioritize all of this. One of the things that we thought we might consider also as far as schedule is concerned is to look at doing these offices next summer. Well, why would we consider that? Well, for a couple of reasons. One is it helps to mitigate some of the pressure of working around a Wednesday schedule. Secondly, it allows us as a church to begin to talk about the resources that it takes to do this kind of work and give us some time to do a capital campaign. Okay? So the idea of maybe wait until preschool is done next summer and our Wednesday programs are done would probably help out and keep those costs down. So let's talk a little about what a capital campaign might look like if we were to move this direction. And we haven't fully solidified all of this. But we would want us to continue to pray. That goes without saying. We need to continue to pray about God's direction on this and consider what God may be asking of us. We believe as leadership that if this is God's plan, He will provide the resources for this. We're confident of that. So we continue to ask for your prayers. We continue to ask for your feedback. We want to talk through these things with you. If we were to do a capital campaign, what that might look like is we think through that with you. We look at maybe a target date where we would do pledges, maybe a harvest banquet this fall, and that would potentially be a two-year campaign where we would see what over and above we could do in terms of resources for 2 years. And then when we get to next summer, what we would do is we'd go ahead and get it built, and then we would use our own cash reserves and not borrow money and then pay that off over the next 2 years with those capital campaign pledges. So I think there's a way to do this without borrowing money, at least from a bank, and we can do this using some of the cash reserves that we have. If I was going to break this down into maybe three tiers, I might do it this way. I might say, if we were to do as much work as we could as a church, the first tier might be somewhere between $63,000 and $68,000, which would include the furnishings for the offices. That second tier, if we didn't want to do any of the work, might be somewhere between $85,000 and $95,000, which would include the furnishings for the offices. And maybe a third tier might be that we would do as much work as possible, but we would also shoot for maybe putting away half what it would cost to do a roof and maybe for a couple of HVAC units. And that might be in the $108,000 to $126,000 range. So those are all options that we can look at as we kind of press back and forth on this. Pastor, that's kind of the nuts and bolts of this. And we'll have a little Q&A here. And
actually, I think before you go, one of the questions that I think you might be good to answer, I know having talked to Mike, and even as I thought about this, as I thought, well, what would it take to put in offices back here? The number that I had in mind was much smaller than the number that actually we're talking about. And so why is that?
Yeah, and I would say the same for me. And I think the reason that number is as high as it is because Dwight Bishop estimated this. So any concerns you have, he's the guy. Now, I'll tell you what, I think what caught me off guard a little bit was just simply the amount of utility things that we have to be considering with the HVAC, the electrical, those type of things, and then the whole phasing of the work. There's a lot of height to this, which creates some pressure. Working around various schedules of the church, making sure that on a Sunday morning we don't have a bunch of masonite down on the floor to protect the floors for those lifts so they're not tearing up our new carpet. So those are some of the things that Dwight does such an outstanding job of turning over every stone. And that's what a good estimator does. So it's good to have all of these things kind of figured out first so that we can go into this with our eyes wide open.
And just to follow up on that, just to make sure we understand, we do not have an estimate on this. So this is not an estimate. It's a projection. It's just a best guess at this point. But it's probably pretty good, but it's not an estimate. So secondly, Mike, just from your perspective, what would be the value of having offices?
Yeah, the value of having offices, it really becomes, now I'm going to take my maintenance and facility and budget elder hat off, and I'm going to put my elder hat on and talk about how staff functions and how there is a cohesiveness that happens when you've got a building that has your staff in it and that you've got people that can serve individuals that come in throughout the week. You get a momentum that occurs when you're all working together. These are things that we think are really important. And as we think about potentially growing our staff, how important it will be for us to be able to reach out to individuals and say, hey, you'll be on site. You'll be with the senior pastor and the support staff. These are all things that we think are pretty important.
Might not want to tell them they'll be with me. I'm just from my perspective, just to share my heart on this, I really do think that as I've thought about the value of having even the current staff that we have together on a more regular basis, there's just amazing, as I think about it, efficiencies and ability for me. And, you know, we're all broken and weak, and so there are things that you get engaged in that are easy to kind of forget. And but if you're coming together in a place where you're thinking together, there's just so much more that can be done in efficiency and in productivity and camaraderie and all of those things. That's all apart from just the value of having offices here that we can do counseling in and things like that that are that would be great. So I'm personally excited about the idea that we might have offices on site here. You know, and I have to say, one of the things is I interact with other pastors around. We get kind of talking and stuff, and somehow sometimes it'll come up that we don't have offices in our and everybody's always shocked by that. They're like, what? How do you function? And so I think that there is, I mean, we have, and we've done a good job. And even before when we had staff, they did a good job of working from home. But that's really hard to do. And so, I know I said before that Tammy and I don't have kids. If you remember the last fellowship luncheon, remember I said that if you were here, I said we don't have kids. Well, that's not true. We actually do have kids, but we don't have kids at home is what I meant. And so for us, it's a little bit easier to accommodate. But if we bring in somebody that has children at home, that's going to be very difficult for them, as I'm sure that you can imagine. So I just want to say that I think probably the biggest thing for us to remember is that if the Lord ordains something to be done, he will provide the resources for it to be done. Do we believe that? If the Lord ordains something to be done, he will supply the resources for it to be done. And so really, our objective as a church, as a people, is to discern the best we can whether this is what God is calling us to do. Is this the right thing to do? And we just wanted to lay the details out to you this morning, and then we expect feedback. If this becomes, in fact, we're going to do a little bit of Q&A here in just a second, but we need to hear back, because this is going to mean that we ask everyone in this congregation to think about, how do I contribute? What can I do personally to help facilitate this and help make it happen? And so with that, let's take a moment and just take some questions and see what questions you guys might have, and do a Q&A for her for a few minutes. Anybody? Questions? Yes. Yeah.
Between 170 and 180 square.
Yes, Jane.
Yeah, the question is, would these offices be able to go away if the church grows? The answer is yes. Yeah, good question.
And to follow up on that, Mike alluded to the idea that we had considered officing off-site and leasing space. And I don't know if you have explored this at all in Kearney, if you're in a business position to do that. Kearney is a very expensive real estate city. But it would cost us no less probably than $12,000 to $15,000 a year. That would be cheap for office space. Plus, we'd have to furnish it in addition, and we may have to do some retrofitting that would cost us upfront money. So it really, that's really not an option. And yes, we could remove the offices, go back, and then, we'd have to do something different at that time. Yeah, Adam. Right. Yeah. That's what it would be initially. It would be myself, Kara, and Sarah, and then eventually, as we add staff, then that other office would be for that additional pastor. Right. So it would be here. This would be my office. This would be Sarah's office. This would be Kara's office. We would leave this office free for a future pastor. The nice thing here is that these offices both have windows here that have visibility to the foyer entrance. So that's why those offices would be for Sarah. And then this puts Sarah in proximity to preschool. Yeah. Yeah, that's a great question, Tricia. And those are definitely things we've begun talking about, but certainly would involve the preschool and involve other ministries to make sure that we have good security procedures in place. Oh, I'm sorry. The question was, what are we, with the preschool here and offices here and people potentially coming in and out, what would be the main entrance into the building, and how are we going to secure it, especially since we'll have a preschool here? And yeah, we'll definitely take those things into consideration. We're not going to just leave the building unlocked kind of a free-for-all. We'll make sure in conjunction with those ministries that we're taking good care.
Another thing that, just as an FYI, the church now has a security team that Corey Troyer is heading up. And these are some of the things that we're going to be working with the staff on, in terms of how we function on a Sunday morning, how we function throughout the week.
Yeah, Randy.
I already know the answer to this, but why you can
take off. Next.
Actually, it was we needed to get to that size for the hot tub.
Yeah, obviously, additional counseling and other things that I would be taking on responsibility for require a little bit larger space. Plus, it's available over there, so first come, there are privileges to, yeah, Anne. Yeah, you want to answer that?
Yeah, I would say probably not. Because what would happen is, if we did a capital campaign and had pledges in on Harvest Banquet, that money would start coming in. So we would probably have 35% of that money in by the summer. We would then draw on some of that reserve. But right now, we've got about $165,000 of reserve, and we've got between $30,000 and $35,000 in a checking account. So we're in that $195,000+ area. I don't think it would get to a point where there would be any issues with that. Within that next 60%, we'd have that rebuilt.
Yeah, and let me say this. I don't think there's any reason why we shouldn't pray and expect that the Lord would meet the need immediately. The Lord can provide the money up front so that we don't have to kind of pledge it out over 2 years. I mean, that's definitely a thing that we can do, but the Lord can provide the money now that we need. So just we'll be praying about that and trusting the Lord to provide. Yeah, Jane? Yeah, Kara will work. That'll be something that Kara will work through. She's already been contemplating that and thinking about how these adjustments will fit her. And actually, frankly, Kara spends a fair amount down here already and accesses some of the facility to help her in that. And we'll be very careful to make sure that we take care of Kara and her family and think that through with her. So, yeah.
Comment. Al, I just want to respond back to that question. I know how your mind's thinking. Just so you know, that number on the shingles would include tear-off, because we think we got to get these shingles off. They're in bad enough shape. So as you process those numbers in your head, that's where we're at.
50 to 55.
No? All right, well, thank you for being patient with us. And, you know, the process of estimating something like this or putting together a projection, those things take a while. And, again, thank you, Dwight, for investing your time in that. And Mike's right, very thorough, which is very helpful. And I appreciate that, because there are a number of things that you just don't think about. And all of a sudden you get it and you go, oh, yeah, there's that. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. So very, very grateful for that. And thank you again, Mike and Brenda, for putting this food together. And I just, in closing, I just want to encourage us to be continuing to pray and trust the Lord. Is the Lord moving us in this direction? I really believe that we have an opportunity in this community. There are thousands and thousands of people right around us that don't know Christ, have never heard the gospel. And we've got to be thinking about what we do in the stewardship of our facility and how we think about staff and all of that. And so those are things that we've prayed a great deal about. I know I've prayed a great deal, and I'm just encouraging. I know many of you have been praying with us. Let's just continue to pray. And we'd love additional feedback. If you have things that you walk away and you're thinking about something, think, oh, well, what about, please, make sure that you ask, send an email, give a phone call, grab one of us. If you have concerns, please let us know. And then we'll be following up here as we move forward to kind of finalize some of these decisions and give a better plan for exactly what it is that we're going to be doing to take the next step to move forward. So with that, let's close in prayer and ask the Lord to go with us for the remainder of this day. Father, we thank you so much for your blessings to us. Lord, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies because of you, because you have united us to your Son. And Lord, we know that we struggle in this world with things like facility. We have work to be done that in our culture requires a place to do it from. And Lord, we know that oftentimes these things are not inexpensive. They are costly. But Lord, we also know that you are the provider and sustainer of everyone and everything. And you, Lord, you are the source and the resource of all things. And so nothing is too big for you. Help us to have faith and trust in you. Lord, we know that all things that you ordain to be done will be done, and that you'll provide the resources to do them. So Lord, may you give us clarity as to the direction that we need to go. And Lord, may you bless this church and the ministry and the outreach that we have in this community. Lord, we do pray for our community, that the gospel would go forth, that people would hear the message of Jesus Christ, and that they would turn their lives over to you, and Lord, that you would make your name great in our midst. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.